Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The saying, find the thing that you love and then do it every day for the rest of your life, applies to John Colson as he's being recognized for outstanding service in arts education at next week's Governor's Awards in the Arts and Peer. Colson is Professor Emeritus of Music at South Dakota State University. A high brass teacher for more than 50 years, Colson continues to teach and mentor in his retirement. And he's joining us from the Janine Basinger Studio in Brookings. John Colson, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk about this this idea of retirement, because you're more active in retirement than some people are in their working years. What sort of keeps you connected and going in really arts education and writing and in music?
Well, I've been retired since 2002, and at the end, when I got to the retirement part, I took on some high school and middle school students from around the area. There were 16 of them, and when I finally got all of them graduated, then that was the end of that. But we can go back from there.
Yeah, let's go back to sort of maybe a little bit to the beginning and how you sort of got started in education and specifically in music education. What drew you to it?
Sure. I grew up in a small town named Marengo, Iowa, which is only 30 miles from Iowa City. So I naturally started studying at the University of Iowa. And I got both a bachelor's and a master's degree there. And then I taught for 7 years in schools in Iowa. And one day I got a mail that said that Dr. Warren Hatfield, who is the head of the department at SDSU, he was going to Russia and Europe with the University of Iowa band. So I interviewed, and they offered me the job. This was 1965. And so then there were only four people in the music department at that time, faculty, and there were only three music majors. Today there are 14 in the faculty and 100-some music majors. So that's kind of the jump that I made. So when I came here, the music department was in an old building, not far from where I'm talking from, and it was sort of like a barn, and we had no practice rooms for a while. So we practiced in the hallways, and we practiced in the restrooms, and we practiced wherever we could. Finally, we got some things across the street from us, but the doors didn't shut very well. So one of my students said to me one day, the good part about those practice rooms is that I can't tell whether I missed the note or the person in the next room missed the note. Well, from there we went to the Lincoln Library for the music department, and also Pugsley Center, and those were pretty good facilities for us. And then finally, about 15 years ago, they built the Performing Arts Center, and then now, of course, they have added to the Performing Arts Center to the tune of about $49 million.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a wonderful facility for us. So that was a one-year sabbatical replacement for me. And President Hilton Briggs came to me in about at the end of that year and said, how would you like to stay on and see if you could build up the orchestra? And I said, well, I don't have anything else to do. So that's kind of how I got here. And so, you know, 53 years later, here I am in Brookings.
Wow. So in order to build up an orchestra, you need to build up orchestra programs in collaboration with every high school. in the state of South Dakota and continue to recruit kids from out of state. Tell me a little bit about how that process worked in state in South Dakota to really increase the number of kids who might even be interested in coming and building a program.
Sure. Well, the personnel in the orchestra was not only high school students, you know, that would come to SDSU, but also community people as well, and people outside of the community. So by the second year, I had between 70 and 80 people in the orchestra, and that continued till I retired.
So it's a civic orchestra and a university orchestra.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
How about the majors, though, is what I'm wondering. How, you know, you said you went from three music majors to, you know, more than 100 music majors over.
Yes. What are you asking me there?
I'm trying to get at this idea of going, you know, through Allstate Orchestra and other programs that you were involved in and sort of really raising, you know, the water so all the boats rise across the state.
Yeah, there's only about six programs of orchestra in the state of South Dakota, and so that's a problem right away.
Yeah,
and so you do the best you can with recruiting high school students, but then you also recruit people in the community and outside of the community and so forth that are close by and can come in and play.
Yeah. So for 34 years, you adjudicated the South Dakota All-State Orchestra audition process. And
yes.
Tell me a little bit how that has evolved over the years. As you sort of see kids come in at different levels, has it been consistently improving and you know, raising the level of music, of classical music education from the string instrument perspective?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. There's you know, there's a real good program in Rapid City where you are at, you know, then there's a good program in Sioux Falls, and then there's a few other programs around in the state. So, you know, you mainly look, I think, at Rapid City and Sioux Falls to supply a lot of the string players for the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. What did you love about teaching and really working with kids in rehearsal, working with musicians in rehearsal? What kind of kept you coming back every day?
Well, I'll say this, that I've written three books now on the business of rehearsing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because everybody thinks that they can rehearse, but in many cases, they're just sort of going through the motions. And there's a really good way to rehearse, and there's a bad way to rehearse. And what happens is when you're doing a college, the most emphasis is on the conducting technique. And so they get pretty good at the conducting technique, but when they get in front of the orchestra, then they have no background there.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I've tried to do over the years, both, you know, at SDSU and in writing these books.
So do you mean they kind of know how to use the baton, but they don't know how to work with people?
Exactly.
Okay. tell me a little bit about that leadership and developing that leadership, because, you know, when we read books on leadership or people do presentations on leadership, it's very often in business. Or in politics, or in public life some way. How do you develop as a leader? Because nobody really is challenged in quite the way that a conductor or a director is challenged.
You do it with love. you love your students. You love the music. You love teaching. And you go from there. You treat people well, and do you get the idea?
Right. Have they given that love to you in return, your students
and your
musicians?
Yes, they do. Oh. Yes, they do. Yeah, that's the key.
Oh. Tell me what a civic, symphony orchestra combined with the university, that collaboration, what does it really do for the community?
Well, the community has supported it really well. And we've tried to do some programs that would be attractive for the communities, such as children's concerts, pops concerts, soloist concerts, those kinds of things that attract audiences.
John Colson is being honored for outstanding service in arts education at the upcoming Governor's Awards in the Arts. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.